Just give me patience. Yeah.
Yo, Z-Pack. This episode is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Athena Health. Athena Health partners with hospital and ambulatory clients to drive results. They offer network-enabled medical record, revenue cycle management, patient engagement, care coordination, and population health services to build health 3.0. Yo, get back to the work you love doing. Athena Health, free up. Thank you, Athena Health, for making this month possible. It actually means a lot to us thinking about trying to make clinicians' lives easier by doing the busy work and getting out of the way. And speaking about busy work, it has been one of the busiest weeks in memory here in Las Vegas. The entire community has come together in a way that I've never seen in this town, and I knew this town was capable of it. And today we have one of the real leading edge figures in what's been going down. She is an amazing human being, a friend of the show's, and happens to be the chief experience officer at UMC, University Medical Center, here in Las Vegas. She has been all over the news lately from the minute the shooting happened, everywhere, and she decided to be with us today. So we are deeply honored to welcome Danita Cohen.
Thank you, Z.
Girl.
It's so fun to be here. It's so nice to be here. And you've asked me so many times, and I feel bad because I try not to blow you off. But I hear all the wonderful things that you've said about UMC throughout the last week, and you're always so supportive. And so thank you for having me stop by.
It means so much because we know you're crazy busy. Every day I turn on the news, and you're there as the face.
Are you tired of me yet?
100%.
Okay.
Like, I'm just like, oh, it's Danita again. Shoot.
Enough Tell of me. Her already.
And, you know, and then she comes to the studio. I'm like, totally uninvited, even though we've been begging her for like months. Please come on the show, Danita. And not only that, but you bring your beautiful daughters.
Yes, there's Mandy and Samantha.
Hey,
right
Mandy
there.
And Samantha.
They were told to be quiet, though. You told them they had to be quiet. So
this is how I phrased it, because you know I'm a dad.
Yes.
I'm like, first of all, you never tell other people's kids what to do. So I'm like, well, you know, there's a few things that'll happen if you say anything, okay? First of all, mommy gets in big trouble.
Yeah, big.
Big, like big trouble.
Yeah,
like,
huge.
You know, because yes. I'm the boss.
Yeah, right.
And in this, I said none of those things. I just
no.
I begged them.
Actually, that's not what you said.
That's
you said
true.
If they do talk, that all their clothes fall off.
Not theirs, ours.
Oh, ours.
Yeah.
Please stay quiet.
Okay. I know that's probably wrong. So obviously, you know, it's Sunday and we're blowing off a little bit of steam. The week for you and for everybody in Las Vegas and for the victims of the shooting and for the first responders and for the frontline staff has been insane. But to see UMC come together and put all their training and all that prep to perfect use has been inspiring. What's the ride been like for you? What have you been seeing there since you got the call Sunday night?
I would say, Z, it's been a ride of pride, if you will, at UMC. You know, this is exactly what our teams trained for. This is the mass casualty incident that we trained at night and on the weekends and with Orlando Regional Health when they came out just a few months ago. And this is why our trauma surgeons went to school for as long as they did and why our trauma nurses stay day in and day out working those shifts, because when it hits the fan, and unfortunately it did, on Sunday night, this is exactly what those teams are trained to do. And it was controlled chaos. It was seamless. It was exactly how it should go in a level one trauma center. And for that, our entire team is so, so proud of that.
And I have no doubt, because I know a lot of people on that team and I know how you guys work. And, you know, having a freestanding trauma center, one of the few in the nation, right? And having, you know, being the only level one trauma, but there, you know, the other hospitals have stepped up in amazing ways. Sunrise took so many patients, you know, the other hospitals we talked about. But the reason I tend to focus on UMC is, first of all, you and I go way back. I'm on staff at UMC. I know a lot of the docs there, and you are our county safety net hospital. You take care of our most vulnerable patients, and you do it in a way that is less economically minded than it is actual quality and outcomes minded. And for that, to me, that's Health 3.0 in its nascent form. So were you able to see kind of how the teams came together in this setting? Because trauma is a team sport.
Absolutely. First of all, you're right. The other hospitals, all of the other hospitals, and you know, we're a unique healthcare market, so we have more hospitals than most other cities do, but everybody came together. All hospitals came together. It wasn't one hospital versus another. It was how can we take care of patients? And that's what we did. And then for people who aren't familiar with a level one trauma center and a self-contained trauma center, everything is within arm's reach, within steps away of our trauma team. So,
so
a trauma surgeon can be back to the OR with a patient in a minute. They can go right from the ambulance straight back to the OR if they need to. Everything is self-contained, so we're not going down the hallway or up elevators. It's all right there. So that's what makes us unique.
And we were talking with Allison Anderson, one of the APRNs on the trauma team, and she was saying that, you know, you scroll down to CT, you're in the OR, there's dedicated OR bays, the team works in a certain way, and they follow their patients right through their hospitalization, unless it becomes so medical that they get transferred to the medical team. But in general, that cohesion and that teamwork extends throughout the stay for the patients.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I think, you know, you've been all over. I mean, what was it like having President Trump show up?
That was pretty cool. It is the President of the United States, and it was a lot of preparation. The White House said usually they give a 1 week heads up that he will be visiting, and we had less than 24 hours.
You had 24 hours, and the President's
hours.
Coming.
And the President of the United States is showing up in our backyard, our front porch.
Did a bunch of dudes with those little things come around and like...
Dudes and dudettes.
Dudettes, too.
Yes. Dudettes
awesome.
In the Secret
Finally.
Service.
It's about
yes.
time. Yeah.
And that was the interesting part is watching their preparation. It has to be perfect. It has to be flawless when the president arrives and when he departs. And we're used to having Secret Service at UMC because anytime the president's in town anyway, we have Secret Service staff with
in case,
us
right.
anyway in case anything happens.
Yeah.
So we're used to seeing them talking in their sleeves and talking, you know, in their shoulders. And
so you're telling me that Logan's idea, which he told me that day,
Logan.
Was like, hey, can we just go bum rush and go see Trump? And I'm like, I'm not sure it works that way. I'm pretty sure Danita will not be on our show if you bum rush the show and try to say hi to the president and throw, you know, underwear at him.
Yeah. It was very controlled.
Yeah.
You know, we had to give the list of, you know, this is the staff that he'll be meeting with, and his exact route was very controlled and everything. But right. very nice of him to come by and spend as much time as he did with patients.
So it's interesting because we were going to do the show at 4 today here, and we pushed it back to 5. Why was that? Why did you spurn us, Danita?
Thank you.
It better be a good reason.
I did put you on hold. I'm kind of double dating today. Is that okay?
Well, I'm used to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So because Jason Aldean came by.
No.
Yes. The same, you know, Jason Aldean who was on Saturday Night Live last night.
And wow.
It was so nice of him to reach out, and he really wanted to come back to Las Vegas. And yep, there he is in front of our trauma center. And just he wanted to visit with patients. And what's so neat about that is, you know, there's no class when this happens. There's no you're rich, I'm poor. There's no everybody was a community coming together to heal from this. And he said it was just as healing for him to come and see our patients as it was for them to be able to meet him.
That's wow. I mean, like, because you can't could you imagine, like, being on stage, you're throwing a big concert, these people come to see you, and this horrible thing happens, no fault of your own, but you're going to be sleepless, you're going to have guilt, you're going to have all those things, and that's be called being a human being. And I assume Jason Aldean is a pretty good human being, and he came to Las Vegas, and so he met with patients, too?
He met with patients,
wow.
And his wife was here, too, who's it was just so nice to see both of them and let them spend some time with patients. And
nice,
and
normal people?
Very normal people.
Yeah.
Very normal people. I think country music stars are normal people,
they tend
right?
to be. I met Garth Brooks. I was like, are you a mechanic?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't even tell. He was
right?
a famous dude. He's wearing like a hat. And he's like, well, tell me about your clinic.
Exactly.
I'm like, the thunder roll. I actually think I did do that.
I bet you did.
And you know what he did? It was funny. He was like this.
he didn't even,
he's like, he was thinking all these things. He can't sing. I hate that song.
Right.
I haven't heard that before.
Right.
But it was great. But he was a normal guy.
Yes.
So Jason Aldean, so you were curating that right before the show.
Right before the show. So
now,
that's what we did.
And speaking of curating, so one of the reasons I was really excited to have you on, because, you know, we spoke to Allison the other day about that frontline first night response of how everybody came together, what they were doing, going through everything. But now we're getting into this phase where people are really swarming, trying to help. Everyone in the ZPAC is like, yo, dog, how do we come? Like, no one says yo, dog, by the way.
They might. Some people might say yo, dog.
It's not the 90s anymore.
No? What do they call you?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Usually guy who, you know, has an autoresponder on his message. So they've been messaging me, what can we do to help? I'm a psychiatrist. I'm a nurse in Duluth. I am a, you know, whatever it is. Can we send food? Can we send ourselves? We'd like to come and work. I mean, what can they do to help? Because they are desperate to help. They want to feel connected to this.
So first of all, our unending gratitude to everybody who said, how can we help? How can I help? We had people, you know, just coming into the hospital and saying, I'm a physician, I'm a nurse, how can I help? We are completely fully staffed. And, you know, all we had to do was put out one phone call last Sunday night to say, really, we need help. There's been a mass casualty come in. One phone call, and that's all it took. And teams just poured in. You know, Mason, our CEO, came in and himself was pushing gurneys and getting blankets and, you know, what can I do to help? And it just, only one call, and the team was there doing whatever needed to be done.
Wow. Yeah. So Mason was in there too.
He was there from the very beginning.
Mason has been a busy guy.
Yes.
He's a cool cat.
He's a cool
dude. And by cool, I mean he's a super nerd, which is what I love about him.
Like, I won't call him a nerd.
You can't do that, but I say it as the highest compliment. Like, he's very organized and just a wonderful human being.
Yeah, you will never find a more compassionate man than he is. You know, he's the one who will call an employee who has called in sick to say, hey, just checking on you.
Not spying on you, right.
But really to just check and see, are you okay? And,
yeah.
You know, Friday morning I was looking everywhere for him, you know, and calling his cell phone. He said, hey, I'm having, you know, down having pancakes with some folks in the cafeteria. And that's where he was, just hanging out with employees. And that interaction is really important to him.
He took the time to call me one of these evenings and thank us for raising whatever money we raised for UMC on the live cast. And I was like, wow, to take the time out of everything that you guys are going through to just quickly ping one of your staff and say, thanks for doing this. I thought that was, I couldn't imagine another hospital CEO doing that.
That's Mason. That's,
yeah.
You know, when we have that kind of leadership, that caliber of leadership, when he is out, you know, just at the bedside or checking in on patients or checking in on staff or calling staff at home and just, hey, are you okay? Mm. When we have that kind of leadership, that's why we can pull off what we pulled off on Sunday.
And I know that your clinical teams are amazing and they work in these really seamless teams. And Allison was saying how they would call consults. And normally there's always a little pushback on the consults. You know, it's just the nature of our
right.
game. We're turfing and bumping and blocking. But everybody was saying, let me take your patients. Is there anything I can do? The hospitalist teams were taking patients and voluntarily, which is unheard of in clinical medicine. And so everybody really came together. And my hope is that it lasts, that this is the beginning of our sort of tip into how we function in a 3.0 world where we're really self-motivated to take care of each other.
Can I just tell you how, you know, not only our trauma team, but our emergency department team.
Oh my gosh.
You know, both sides of our hospital, the adult emergency team and the trauma team, just all at once, as you said, came together. And those patients were not just coming in by ambulance. They were really in the back of pickup trucks, just being dropped off by taxi cab drivers. And so it wasn't the normal route to get to UMC. You really couldn't get to UMC, actually. Metro had it blocked off last Sunday. But the teams and the way they came together, and it's just incredible to see not only the clinical skill, but the compassion from both sides, our emergency department team and our trauma center. Fantastic.
Couldn't speak more highly of all those guys. And Dale Carrison, was he involved?
He was right there at the front door of the trauma center.
He's the chief medical officer, one of the most remarkable human beings. He's like 78, and he cares so much about what he does. Every time you talk to him, and he's like 7 foot tall, and so I'm always like, Dale, tell me about what your day's like. He's like, what could possibly go wrong, Z-Dog? It's a perfect, I get to help people. The beautiful house staff here, the staff is great. Hey, Bob, and he knows everybody. It's one of those special, it's like a small town feel in a town of a million odd people, right?
Right.
That's what I love about it. And to see the community wake up and really come together, that was really amazing to me.
That's the neatest thing for me is to see, you know, we in our community have always known what UMC means and what we're capable of, but we certainly proved it
on
Sunday night.
That's right. Yeah. And Logan stood in line for 9 hours to donate blood. And
Logan,
then was
why'd
away.
You do that?
Yeah.
Tried to help.
That's nice. He tried to help.
I know.
So that's good.
He's adorable. He's adorable.
Can I see, lower your chair slightly.
Who, me?
You.
Are you saying I'm too tall?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time. Often,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I never do that. There we go. How's that? Better?
Yeah.
Got some comments, Tom, before we get into Stop the Bleed?
Basically, everybody in the Z-Pack is just saying what a wonderful job you guys did. And, you know,
very nice.
That you guys are the real heroes at UMC. And I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Philip Mondejar, at least the ability to drop politics to reach patient outcomes. So that was clear. Z's head is cut off. Okay, not anymore, Liliana. So here's the question, right? Annie Johnson, how can I help? I've worked trauma for years and experienced trauma. I'm a good listener if you can use me. So what do you say to Annie?
Well, first of all, Annie, thank you. I mean, wow, to just say, how can I help? It's so nice. Yeah. So I think at this point, you know, for folks who are in locally here in Las Vegas on Friday, we're doing what we're calling a UMC Strong Appreciation event. We're closing off one of our parking lots, and we're just going to bring all the restaurants and businesses that have said, hey, how can we help? And we're going to do something right there in our parking lot for our employees. Because, you know, it's not just the trauma team and the emergency department team. It's house-wide. Once those patients, you know, go through a trauma recess or one of the ICUs, they go to a medical surgical floor.
Right.
But it's the whole team. It's even, you know, now we're processing insurance claims. And so it's the back of the house folks who are working so hard, and so that's our way to tell them thank you.
So lovely. So if you're a local business, ZPAC, here in Las Vegas, help them out, and you can probably reach Danita.
Email me, danita.cohen@umcsn.com.
danita.cohen@umcsn.com. So that's how you get that piece. Now, for people, and we should probably talk to the PAC here, because people have been saying, how can we help? Can we come into town? I'm a trauma surgeon, I'm a psychiatrist, et cetera. What can I do? And we were talking before the show, and I think it sounds like you have got such trained personnel here that know the hospital and know how to work it, and now things are really, I mean, from the beginning, it was controlled chaos, but it was controlled. You guys trained for this. Now, are you in a position to need the help of outside doctors, or are you good where you are?
We are good, but I want to say thank you, because I don't want to say we don't need you, because we always need you, but clinically, we are completely fully staffed. It's business as usual, if you can imagine business as usual in a trauma center, right?
Right? You had like 5 or 10 patients for trauma before the shooting come in. There was a burn, there was an MVA, a motor vehicle crash, we have to get PC about, it's no longer an accident, they're crashes. And so on and so forth, and so then all of a sudden trauma activation, dozens and dozens and dozens of patients.
Right, and even Monday, while the patients had moved out of our resuscitation area, It's still business as usual in the trauma center. But back to your question, clinically, we are fully staffed. Yeah. But thank you so much, because that's so important that people are saying, how can I help?
And Debbie, Sadler says, great idea for the parking lot event. I think that is a great idea. Whose idea? Was it your idea? Take credit for it.
I have a good question for Danita from Jennifer Fox. She asks, what mental health services are you offering for employees after the incident?
Thank you very much. So we have a few in-house folks who are helping with our employees, and then there are a lot of community resources for our employees too. But a lot of the money that's being donated, we're trying to figure out what's the best way to use that going forward.
Yeah.
And we think it might just be to help with that emotional resources, because even when this event is over, the next trauma comes through the door. And so how are we ready for that? We do a great job clinically taking care of patients, but what about when they go home and they're already recovered, and what are the resources out there for them at that point?
You know, one of the things I acutely feel when I round at UMC is the social determinants of health run the show. And now we have people who, trauma can happen to anybody, any socioeconomic group. And then afterwards, do you have the resources for the mental health stuff and for the actual staff? Now, your trauma guys are pros, but still, this is affecting to have this much trauma. And I know there was a doc at Sunrise who was writing about seeing fellow docs that were really distraught and had, you know, the emotional blunting and all the other stuff that you can see. So do you think you have enough capacity to take care of these folks if they need extra help?
With the community resources, I think we're doing very well. But you're right. You know, if you ask anybody on the trauma team or on the emergency department team, how are you doing? The first thing to do is, I'm fine, I'm trained for this.
Yeah.
But if you dig a little bit deeper, we're all human. And at some point, what happened has to affect us all.
Yeah.
I mean, just as you watch the stories of the survivors and unfortunately who didn't survive, and you see that those were, you know, family members, that's somebody's mom, dad, brother, sister, it does touch everybody, right?
And these are relatively young people who are now potentially paraplegic, quadriplegic, have lost eyes, are going to have prolonged recoveries with complications that people, once the news cycle ends, you and I both know, Danita, they go away and this continues, right? The process of healing and recovery. So it's good to know that there are resources, but we can always obviously continue to grow those resources. The event on Friday, but there's another thing that I think, you know, when Allison came on, she said, look, there's a couple things that you guys can do, like to help. Get an advance direct, like tell your decision maker.
Absolutely.
What your wishes are, because if you're on a ventilator after a trauma and you have no meaningful recovery, do you want to stay on that ventilator? If no one knows what your wishes are because you're 20 and you've never talked about it.
Or because you don't want to, who wants to have that conversation? That's a horrible conversation.
I have it every day. I'm eating cereal with my kids. I'm like, listen, you girls, if daddy ever can't rap, if there ever comes a time when daddy is unable to bust a rhyme, I need you to pull the plug. And I don't care if I'm otherwise fine. I need you to pull the plug. And they tried to pull the plug on me right then.
I bet they did.
They don't appreciate my rhyming skills.
Right.
But so that was one piece. The other piece is actually organ donation. So making sure if you're going to be an organ donor, tick the box on the DMV thing.
Absolutely. Yep. It's just on our driver's license. It's all you need to do to make sure that's known and that your wishes are known. Absolutely.
Now, the third thing, which I think is absolutely crucial, we didn't talk about that day, is something you had brought up before the show, which is the Stop the Bleed campaign. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, this is a great campaign, and it's taught by our trauma center nurses and physicians, and they will come to a business that has a lot of employees, or we can set up big community courses, but it's how to stop the bleed if you are in an area and there's a mass casualty, or somebody, just one person maybe, shot and bleeding. What do you do? Because as you know, there's just a few minutes that you have to make really good decisions. And so we actually teach people how to do how to use a tourniquet and, you know, how to apply the right pressure and where should that be put and where should that be placed.
Packing wounds and how do you get them somewhere. And the tourniquet thing is interesting because tourniquets had fallen out of favor until the Iraq and Afghanistan war, and they realized, oh, wait, no, actually, they actually work. People's lives are saved. So much stuff we learned on the battlefield is now applied. But the learning, as you know, in medicine, it's all delayed. So especially in the public. So now they're doing hands-only CPR, but which we made a video about. But a lot of the public still doesn't understand that. With Stop the Bleed, it's the same thing. What happens if you were at that concert and you see someone shot and they're bleeding everywhere? There's several things you could do. Panic, run away, throw them in a truck, drive to a hospital. Right. Or you can actually do those things, but also pull pressure properly, use a tourniquet, all the kind of things that this course teaches. So how can people, actually Logan has an email where you can contact the people teaching this in Las Vegas, and you can get the course or get the training? What's the idea?
This is our email address, stopthebleed@umcsn.com. Just email us your information. Again, if it's a large enough group, we will come out to you and teach. And this is not just anybody we're bringing in, but this is our trauma center team, so they know what they're doing. And then if it's, you know, one-on-one training, then we'll do some community classes so that we can invite individuals to come
does,
to
does
us.
It cost money for this?
Nope.
Where are you? How are you guys funding this?
We are UMC. The cost of it is the tourniquet itself,
right,
which runs about $14 to $20 per tourniquet.
That's a total ripoff. What is this, like Chargemaster price?
I know, right? but that's what we, like Amazon.com.
Right.
What do these things cost? Because
right.
we don't want to be doing the training and then we're leaving them without the tourniquets.
Yeah.
But then we'll also teach, if you don't have a tourniquet, what do you use?
Rip open clothes, whatever it is.
Shirts, towels, whatever you have.
Right.
It's important training. So stopthebleed@umcsn.com.
That's tremendous. So this is something that you guys can do. So get friends and groups and colleagues and coworkers to take this course, because when you're the victim of something, heaven forbid, to have people around you trained and to feel like you can do something in one of these events is absolutely tremendous. There's also a website, I think, I had it here and we'll talk about it, just for people who nationally want to get involved with this, and it is, I will tell you in 1 second because I have it here. Isn't this professional?
This is
Let
great.
Me just pull up my phone and look up this link on live TV with 300 people watching. Bleedingcontrol.org. So if you go to bleedingcontrol.org, you can learn more about the national move to do this. And this is huge because, again, it's like CPR. People can save lives in the field. And we're now experiencing this concern with natural disasters and unnatural disasters, like Wayne Newton. I'm kidding.
Do you know that he came by the hospital the other day?
Did he?
He did. He walked around with Mason.
Really?
Yep.
And I wasn't invited.
I'm sorry. When you walk around the hospital, we have to also have an entourage because you cause quite the stir when you come around.
It's Tom and Logan.
It's really Tom.
Yeah, yeah. So was he like, Donka Shane,
Danita? I don't know that he sang anywhere.
He didn't sing it. That's wonderful.
Yes, we've had so many people.
You must have had a lot of Las Vegas.
Which is so nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Brittany? Has Brittany come yet?
No, she has not come. But I do have tickets to her show for some of our employees, so that's
awesome.
Cool.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes, yeah, so she did reach out with show tickets, which is very nice.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes, so did Roscoe Flats, because they have a residency here.
Oh, right.
So they also reached out with show tickets. So we're going to have some happy UMC employees going to some of those shows.
That's so good to hear.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Now, you yourself are a Broadway fan, if I understand.
I love Broadway.
And that is how we met.
We did. We go way back to Broadway.
We go back to Broadway. So yes. I had just moved into town, and I needed to shoot a video for hospitalists to celebrate them, and I wanted to do a parody of Wicked, the whole popular, I'm all about popular.
I love it.
Right?
So yes.
I forget how we connected, but I was like, is there any chance I could shoot this video in your hospital? And you were like, what's it about? And I'm like, oh, it's Broadway. She's like, yeah. And the next thing I know, we have a little wing and we did it. And it was so much fun. And that's what started our whole collaboration with UMC on, and ZDogg MD.
A little bit of Wicked started it all.
A little bit of Wicked.
Yeah, and now we have the ZDogg Studios right there at UMC.
That's true.
Yes.
Basically, it's like anytime this particular wing isn't used, we go down there and we shoot. We shot Lose Yourself and EH. I mean, a bunch of videos.
And we love working with you, by the way.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Anytime.
Every time we go, I'm just like, this is too good to be true. It's not going to last. Tom Heineberg.
By the way, ZPAC, y'all need to be super nice to Danita and thank her and tell her how pretty she is, because she's the only person who lets us shoot video.
She really is. Like,
if there was no Danita, this enterprise is over.
It's all done. And you know, her kids are in the back already calculating the different types of blackmail and extortion that can be done on us, because we'll pay anything.
I think Mandy wants to be in your next video.
Yeah, done.
There you go.
Sold.
There
she's going to have to battle one of my Z-pups to the death, but that's
okay.
It wouldn't be
maybe
the first
all
time.
Three of them, all four of them.
Oh, I love it. Put them all in. Let's do that. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
We can have them play the adults. They probably do it better.
They might.
Absolutely.
They're a little bit more well-behaved than the rest of us. So
how
maybe.
Good's their Amy Winehouse? We need to do, they try to make me go to rehab. I won't go.
Maybe you should do that one.
But about skilled nursing rehab. So we need them to play elderly patients with walkers. So we'll dress them in gray hair
okay,
and all that.
Yeah,
it'll be dope.
Try it.
Other comments, Tom?
Let's see. Samantha says, proud to be working at UMC in Las Vegas.
Nice. Thank you, Samantha.
I love it. Kendra Mason says, seriously, but even a tourniquet can cause damage. You need to know when to release it and why, and God forbid you should have it on longer than 2 hours. Well, that's why you take the course.
Yes, please.
You take the course.
Yes.
You don't just
to illustrate your point, Z, there was a video that's about 10 minutes long, and at the very end of the video, it details a lot of the shooting. The very end of the video, you see a guy who was shot in the arm. He says he was shot in the arm. Turns out he was also shot in the torso.
Oh, wow.
And you see somebody getting a tourniquet on him right then on his arm. And I think that gentleman is in critical condition at UMC right now. And that tourniquet may have been one of the things that helped save his life that night.
So, guys, like, listen to me. You're always asking. Now, healthcare people understand this, but we also don't understand this because we don't know sometimes the latest stuff that's going on in public education. You're always asking, how can we make a difference in the most lives possible? Well, this Stop the Bleed thing is a huge way to do it. Supporting institutions like UMC that take care of our most vulnerable citizens and in times of trauma come together to support the community. That's another way to do it. And then supporting our own selves, our healthcare people, working together with evil administrators like Danita, who, by the way, Liliana Cook describes as a very calming presence, a great personality is being portrayed.
Aww,
and gives
sweet.
You the prayer hands emoji.
I love that. Thank you.
Let's read some more comments because I think, this idea is hysterical. Kids as elderly rehab patients, Judy Zimmerman. I think we found our thing. You know, yes, I felt bad, but I got 12 cats at home. God bless all the victims, the nurses, and the physicians who took care of them. Junctional bleeds are also discussed in the Stop the Bleed course. Sonia Chiappetti, thank you, Sonia. So proud to be joining the UMC family in a few weeks, transplant.
Wow, welcome, Lisa. That's fantastic.
You want to hear a funny story? I'm walking through UMC the other day. We were shooting this Doc Vader piece, Dr. Man, which thank you so much. It was so fun. We stole a little bear. We had Doc Vader steal a bear from the gift shop and run off.
Nice.
And your security is so good there. It was running off. What did they say, Tom?
It was a female officer, and she was like, I wouldn't.
And he was like, I'm very sorry. Sometimes my dark side rage just gets the best of me. I was walking and somebody goes, are you ZDogg? And I'm like, well, it depends. Are you the law? Because if you're the law, then no, I don't know who you're talking about. But it was a new nurse who had come from Texas who had just joined the team. And she was a part of the ZPAC. And she was so excited to come work at UMC. It really is a tremendous place that you're attracting.
It's a fantastic place. We're doing new hire orientation tomorrow. We do it every 2 weeks just to welcome our new employees, and it's always great. We always have people actually who have left UMC and are coming back to UMC. There's always one in the new hire crowd.
Yeah.
So
that's dope. I love it.
It's dope.
Dope as heck. I would meet you. I'm a CNA at UMC, Samantha Profsgaard. Well, we'll have to set it up with Samantha to get her on video. Good. Other comments, Tom?
Let's see. There was a good one back a little bit. Let me find it.
I like Praise 3.0 by Jennifer Fox. Z-Dog, my whole office listens to you, Aaron Dunn. Hey,
Andrew says, I was thinking about y'all today and wondering how I could help. Would it be okay to send food?
Answer about food.
Thank you. Yeah. Our staff has gained about 12 pounds in the last week. but given that, I also don't want to turn anybody away.
Right.
You know, today we had a taco truck parked outside. It was so nice because, you know, our staff needs to eat too. And so that's a great way. But our Friday event, that's our big appreciation event. So let's, you know,
absolutely
push that event for Friday.
That's when, so Friday you can really help us, guys.
Yes.
And they can email you, danita.cohen@umcsn.com.
Subject line food, and it'll pop to the top of my priority
list. Of course, food always tops.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny, Carissa Zittick says, you told her she had to keep her children quiet. That's not normal for children except in church and at mass. And Carissa, what do you think this is? This is the church of 3.0 right here, okay? And also, I didn't tell her she needed to keep her children quiet. She told them, and I said, well, the reason why is because otherwise, poof.
We're gone.
We're gone.
Yes.
And by the way, how awesome have they been?
They're fantastic.
They are the best kids.
I love my girls.
Hey, girls.
Yes.
What up?
They're fantastic.
Stephanie Lappin said, I worked at UMC while I was in nursing school. So did my wife. And that's where I first learned of my appreciation for UMC, because she used to do her clinical rotations there. And you find out that it really is, compared to the rest of the hospitals in Las Vegas, the best. It's the jewel in the desert of Las Vegas. So.
We've always said to know us is to love us, because you cannot come into UMC and meet the teams and tour and see all the work that is done campus-wide and not leave thinking, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Rodolfo Vuitton wants to send a treadmill for the staff.
Do I need a treadmill?
No.
Are you trying to tell me
something? No, for our nurses that have gained 12 pounds because
of the... Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because of all the food, which has been great. Kindle fires for patients. Anything we can do for patients. Vicky Fielding. You said that one of the needs that came up, because you were pretty... You handled a lot of the stuff, but the space for quiet conversations with families, because there was so much, and family reunification, all that... Well, what was the need there?
That's what we'll be working on next is where do our patients, you know, UMC's been there since 1931, and we keep building tower after tower, but we do have a master plan going. But within that, we need to figure out where are the spaces that we can have for families to just relax and have a few quiet minutes and some time together. And so that's something we'll be working on, is that quiet room space. So we'd like to use some of the donations for that.
So the foundation, the UMC foundation that we had a donate button for, and I'll put a link to that broadcast where you can see the donate button. It's very easy, tax deductible, just click and donate. That foundation can help fund some of this expansion.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, anything we can do to help you guys. You've helped us as a show, as an enterprise, to start to be the voice of what we're trying to call Health 3.0. Without UMC, none of this is possible. Z Studios would not exist. We wouldn't have been able to.
This is pretty nice here, by the way.
It's not bad.
That's your dad's doctor?
That's my dad's
doc bag?
Actual doctor bag. It says RF Demania. And he's like, you can take it under one condition. You don't use it as a prop in some video. It's just for using for patients. And I was like, no problem. And the great thing is he watches the show occasionally, but he hasn't even noticed that his own bag is up there.
So next time they're in town, I would love to meet them, because those two are a hoot.
And my mom, you know, my mom watches the show, and she saw Allison on the show, and she's like, she called me. She's like, oh my goodness, Zubin, that Allison is like a steel magnolia only.
Yes.
She's like
Allison's
so
fantastic.
Calm in the face. And when she sees you, she's going to be like, now that's a nice Jewish girl. You know, you should marry her. Mom, I'm married already. But you should marry her only. yes, you'll get to meet them. Definitely.
Yeah,
they would be honored.
They're so fun.
They would be honored. Other thoughts and comments, Tom, Danita?
I think we'll wrap up in a minute here, but Chris has a good question. He says, it seems like there was an article that was going around a few months ago about the donations that communities get after a tragedy can actually become another crisis in its own, but he says it doesn't really seem like it's going to happen here It seems like you guys already have a really clear plan for what you're going to do with the money.
We do. At first, you know, Monday, we had, you know, every national media outlet possible. I mean, we even had Dr. Phil here this week. We had media
Okay, wait, sorry. You can stop right there. Did you say Dr. Phil?
I said Dr. Phil.
My arch nemesis? My slightly less bald arch nemesis? Is that Dr. Phil. The Dr. Phil we're talking about?
Yes.
Were you, please tell me you weren't on a show.
So I always knew I would be on Dr. Phil, but I thought it'd be for other issues. But yes,
right.
He actually was very kind.
Oh, that's good.
I know.
No,
he
that's
was very
good.
Kind.
That's lovely.
And he did come in to talk with our patients and our staff, and it was just it was meaningful for our staff to at least have an outlet to talk about it, to talk
that's
about
good.
Their feelings. So
was anybody revealed to be the father of anyone else's child?
Not that I know of, but I've only watched to the second commercial break, so maybe later within the broadcast.
Yeah. Awesome, yes. awesome. Well, that's I'm glad to see at least the community and outside celebrities are coming to try to help and in a hopefully in a non-opportunistic way. And like Tom said, these donations can sometimes be a burden, but I think for you guys, like I tell you, every penny helps. Every penny helps.
Absolutely. And all the food and all the, you know, donuts and candy and everything, it's so appreciated.
Yeah.
And you know, we have 4,000 employees working around the clock, and so it was very, very thoughtful.
That's amazing. You've had trauma surgeons show up at your door, right?
Yes, we have. Or I would just be walking by somebody and they'd say, oh, I'm just here to help. I thought you meant trauma surgeons showing up at my front door.
Oh, well, that's...
And that has not happened
That's
yet.
Called Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, everybody has really said anything that I can do to help, which
that's
is
awesome.
Very nice.
That's awesome. And the other thing we wanted to thank you for is we recently put out a video called Would You? And the question is, would you go into healthcare again if you had it all to do again? And looking at the thousands of comments on that video, the vast majority are like, absolutely, it's my calling. And we took some of the video that you shot at UMC with these guys and repurposed it for that.
I love the video you did. I just watched it last night.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm glad you're saying that because we didn't ask your permission. When we
you don't have to. You have like carte blanche permission.
We just took the footage and we're like, Tanita, hopefully she doesn't get mad at us. And we're glad that because we thought it might be a good tribute to all the frontline people who sacrifice so much to do what they do because it is their calling.
It is their calling, but they have such hard jobs. I could not be a nurse, a bedside nurse. There's no way. I could not have worked myself in the trauma center on Sunday night. There's no way. I can talk full of pride about what I see them do day in and day out, but I couldn't do that work. And it's so incredible. And I always say, you're all heroes. And they hate it when I call them heroes because they say, this is just what we do. But to me, it's so extraordinary what they do, like saving lives minute to minute and knowing to focus on that one patient who is literally dying in front of you. How they can keep that sense of mind to focus on that when there's so much crazy going on is so admirable. And so I'm very lucky to be able to talk about it all the time and this week really nationwide because I'm so proud to be a part of UMC.
CPAC, I don't think any of us could have said that better, and that's coming from top administrator at one of our big hospitals is really inspiring. You inspire us, Danita. Everyone at UMC inspires us. I know you've had a busy, busy week, so we'll let you off the hook to spend some time with your kids because I bet they haven't seen much of you lately.
They have not, so I will spend the rest of the night with them.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. And then they're welcome in our next video.
Awesome. Thank you.
Danita.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all the donations.
D. Cohen, you know what I'm saying? Thanks for raising money for UMC. Thanks for being part of the ZPAC. Athena Health, thank you for supporting our show and supporting doctors and clinicians and nurses to try to get this busy work off our plate. Because when we feel like we're capable of helping our patients, we're less likely to burn out. We're less likely to get all the problems that have been coming with health 2.0. And as we know, health... electronic health records can be a drag sometimes.
Yes, they
can be a drag, but they can also help us a lot.
That's right.
So if we do it right, and we will do it right, on that note, Tom Heineber, parting thoughts.
Girls, you want to take us out? Say, peace out, ZPAC.
Peace out, ZPAC.
One, two, three.
West Side, and also the kids.
Yo, ZPAC! This episode is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Athena Health. Athena Health partners with hospital and ambulatory clients to drive results. They offer network-enabled medical record, revenue cycle management, patient engagement, care coordination, and population health services to build Health 3.0. Yo, get back to the work you love doing. Athena Health, free up.